Welcome to the Book of Mormon podcast. My name's Kyle, and I'm just a guy who really enjoys reading the Book of Mormon. As we journey through the text together, I'll do my best to help you stay on top of all the characters and storylines that are going on. But if you have any doctrinal or historical questions, you can get those answered in real time by reaching out on mormon.org/chat. 2 Nephi, chapter 20. We are still working our way through this huge chunk of Isaiah that Nephi has dropped on us. At the end of the last chapter, we were sort of in the midst of this prophecy of doom, lots of gloomy things going on. In this chapter, we're going to start at that point, but we're going to take a turn toward a more optimistic prophecy, which is very enjoyable. So, chapter 20, verse 1. Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, and that write grievousness which they have prescribed, to turn away the needy from judgment, and to take away the right from the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey, and that they may rob the fatherless. And what will ye do in the day of visitation, and in the desolation which shall come from far? To whom will ye flee for help, and where will ye leave your glory? Without me they shall bow down under the prisoners, and they shall fall under the slain. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. That closing phrase there, for all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still, that appeared two or three times in the last chapter. Here it appears again. This is a recurring theme, but now we're going to turn a corner, and we're going to stop talking about the destruction of the Israelites, and we're going to look at Assyria. In the previous chapters, the Lord has talked about Assyria as coming and basically punishing his people because of their unrighteousness. But now he's going to turn to the king of Assyria and say, wait a minute, you're not off the hook here either. Verse 5, O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger, and the staff in their hand is their indignation. I will send him against a hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge to take the spoil, and to take the prey, and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. Howbeit, he meaneth not so, neither doth his heart think so, but in his heart it is to destroy and cut off nations, not a few. So God is saying, I'm using Assyria as a weapon, you know, as the rod of mine anger, to punish this hypocritical nation, but in the mind of the king of Assyria, he's just out on a world conquest, and he is excelling because he is excellent, not because God is helping him. Verse 8, For he saith, Are not my princes altogether kings? Is not Calno as Carchemish? Is not Hamath as Arpad? Is not Samaria as Damascus? As my hand hath founded the kingdoms of the idols, and whose graven images did excel them of Jerusalem and of Samaria, shall I not, as I have done unto Samaria and her idols, so do to Jerusalem and to her idols? So, this is king of Assyria, this is what he's thinking. And he's thinking, I am a mighty warrior, I have a mighty people, we have destroyed a whole bunch of other peoples, and their idols did not protect them. And those people were able to beat up on Jerusalem and Samaria, so we'll probably be able to take out them and their idols too. What he's failing to understand, of course, is that the God of the people of Jerusalem is not just an idol, but actually the real live God. Verse 12, Wherefore it shall come to pass that when the Lord hath performed his whole work upon Mount Zion and upon Jerusalem, I will punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria and the glory of his high looks. Uh-oh, bad news for him. For he saith, okay, this is king of Assyria again, he saith, By the strength of my hand and by my wisdom I have done these things. For I am prudent, and I have moved the borders of the people, and have robbed their treasures, and I have put down the inhabitants like a valiant man. And my hand hath found as a nest the riches of the people. And as one gathereth eggs that are left, have I gathered all the earth. And there was none that moved the wing, or opened the mouth, or peeped. I really like the way Isaiah puts things. It's so visually interesting. Basically, King of Assyria is thinking, you know, overthrowing all these nations was like taking eggs from a nest, like candy from a baby, right? It's just, I'm that awesome and I can do it if I want to. Verse 15, Shall the axe boast itself against him that heweth therewith? Shall the saw magnify itself against him that shaketh it? As if the rod should shake itself against them that lift it up, or as if the staff would lift up itself as if it were no wood. So here Isaiah is saying, Assyria, you're just a tool. You're just the weapon the Lord is wielding. And like, how can an axe get mad at the lumberjack that uses it? Like, no, you're only as powerful as the person that is wielding you. and the person who is wielding you is upset that you're getting so prideful. Verse 16, "Therefore shall the Lord of hosts, send among his fat ones leanness, and under his glory he shall kindle a burning like the burning of a fire. And the light of Israel shall be for a fire, and his Holy One for a flame, and shall burn and shall devour his thorns and his briars in one day, and shall consume the glory of his forest and of his fruitful field, both soul and body, and they shall be as when a standard bearer fainteth, and the rest of the trees of his forest shall be few, that a child may write them." Not exactly clear on the symbolism of the trees here, but anyway, this people that is a mighty people, the Assyrians, they are numerous and they are powerful, are going to be reduced so much that a child would be able to count them. Like, ooh, that's bad news for them. Verse 20, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. The remnant shall return, yea, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. The consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness. For the Lord God of hosts shall make a consumption, even determined in all the land." Not exactly sure what consumption is here, but the meaning here is that now we've turned that corner, and Assyria is going to be punished. They're going to stop punishing the Israelites. And the people, the remnant of the house of Jacob, Israel, can return to their former glory. Verse 24, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, O my people that dwellest in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrian. He shall smite thee with a rod, and shall lift up his staff against thee after the manner of Egypt. For yet a very little while, and the indignation shall cease, and mine anger in their destruction. And the Lord of hosts shall stir up a scourge for him, according to the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Horeb. And as the rod was upon the sea, so shall he lift it up after the manner of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." So this is good, right? Yes, Israel, you are going to be punished, but only for a little time, and then Assyria is going to be wiped out, and his yoke is going to be taken off your shoulders and destroyed. Verse 28, "He has come to Aath, he has passed to Migron. At Michmash he hath laid up his carriages. They are gone over the passage, they have taken up their lodging at Geba. Ramoth is afraid, Gibeah of Saul is fled. Lift up the voice, O daughter of Galim, cause it to be heard unto Laish, O poor Anathoth. Madmena is removed, the inhabitants of Gebim gathered themselves to flee. As yet shall he remain at Nob that day. He shall shake his hand against the mount of the daughter of Zion, the hill of Jerusalem. Behold, the Lord of hosts, shall lop the bough with terror, and the high ones of stature shall be hewn down, and the haughty shall be humbled. And he shall cut down the thickets of the forest with iron, and Lebanon shall fall by a mighty one." So, talking about lots of places and people there I don't really know anything about, but the overall thrust seems to be that we've turned a corner here, and we are hopefully out of the prophecies of doom, and we will get to some prophecies of happiness. That's the end of this chapter. In the next chapter, we'll go on to a new topic, but still be in Isaiah.